Look for work-learn postings at www.careersonline.ubc.ca. You can even ask your profs and campus staff if they can create a job for you.
To participate in work-learn, you must be an international student seeking an undergraduate degree in a participating faculty and registered full-time with a study permit valid for at least 6 months. For more information, visit www.careers.ubc.ca.
Good evening and welcome to another African Rhythms. I'm David Love Jones. We have here Michael Ingram back from Philadelphia and Jason Hoover. Welcome, guys.
What it look like, Vancouver? It's spring!
It's spring. It's nice to be back, David.
Yeah. We're in the editing process of your documentary about local Vancouver history. And tonight we're going to focus on your Mushroom Records album from 1975. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Green, rest in peace.
Yeah, he just died last 2 weeks ago. Heart problems, but he was one of my inspirations, and he was my tight buddy, especially when it came to writing with the Mushroom album. Mm. We did most of the tunes that were... He was on all of them mostly.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to feature that in a little bit, Mike. Mm-hmm. I was telling you about a gentleman from Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. Jared Lawson.
Interesting. I'm looking at the cover here, Jared Lawson at the BBC. And, you know, Portland, it's in that odd little spot in the country where you think, well, where can we get all this stuff from? Because I believe the funk band Pleasure came from Portland, but not too many other acts in a genre that would, you know, imply jazz or R&B or anything like that. So if they took the time to use him in a compilation, he must have some skills. So I'm waiting to see this and hear this myself.
Yeah, well, the British, they just have a knack for picking up on talents. That's in true. The USA. And certainly there's hints of Donny Hathaway, Jason, and
Donny
Stevie Hathaway. Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, he sound like him. Wow.
I always was a dreamer. Never hearing the things that my daddy was saying. And musically inclined, my mind was always preoccupied, dreaming of the day when the music I make might affect a change. 'Cause I believe that music and love have the power to heal. Compassion, tolerance, and empathy. 'Cause we all experience pain. Yeah, yes, we do. And we all feel the strains. So everybody, won't you come along and rest your weary bones upon my soul's symphony. This is my soul symphony. Oh, this is my soul symphony. Oh, my soul symphony. Thank you.
'Cause I believe that music and love have the power to heal. Tantamount to these, compassion, tolerance, and empathy. 'Cause we all experience pain, yeah, yes we do, and we all feel the strains. So everybody, won't you come along and rest your weary bones upon my soul symphony.
Indeed, real soul talents like that should be encouraged.
That was beautiful. Yeah. I liked his phrasing. Mm-hmm. I liked how he had the byplay with the keys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of track that would fit an urban contemporary format, which you don't see a lot of, Jason.
No, you don't. But also, one thing I'd like to tell you is that it was recorded really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is that's a squeezer, man. That is definitely a pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like the fact that he's paying tribute to the past. You know, he understands what a Stevie or a Donny Hathaway, because both of them have certainly done that kind of improvisational style.
Definitely. A very economic phrasing, though. He's not trying to sound like them.
No.
He's not a vamper. You can hear him clean and clear. Mm. And, you know, apparently Anthony Hamilton
right. And
Bilal also contributed to this. So clearly these are vocal talents who liked what they heard, and they're, you know, doing their part to help this kid out.
Yeah, but it's still that it distresses me a little bit that in Toronto and Vancouver and other places that this artist is not playing, that he's getting residencies instead in Europe and England.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why we got to give Frankie Crocker a lot of credit.
Oh,
because Frankie Crocker opened up the whole urban contemporary market. He was playing stuff from the black British bands. He was playing jazz. He was playing offbeat stuff, and he was mixing it all into his entourage of stuff, and other stations across the country picked up on it, and he gave it a whole new name, urban contemporary. You didn't have program directors become as aggressive with taking stuff like this and giving it a shot.
Well, the next artist we're going to talk about here on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver is Tina Marie, and her coming along and her relationship with Rick James, which was kept under covers to start with.
Yeah, literally under the covers.
For her, for a white singer to come along in the soul community and the impact that she laid, there may never have been another one.
There isn't.
Not you know. Like that.
No.
We had Dusty Springfield. We had Timmy Euro.
You had Madonna.
You know, we had, exactly. But, you know, nobody was as consistent as Tina, mm-hmm. and she was there because she wanted to be there.
That's
even
right.
when she moved labels, she never changed from the type of songs that she wanted to sing. And to her credit, she became a favorite. I mean, black fans put cash in Tina Marie's pocket. She was not a crossover artist.
No, she was not.
Yeah, she was
hardcore, rhythm and blues and funk.
Yep. Well, this track, Tune In Tomorrow, truly is one of her finest. Well, it looks like the guitar play is getting a little more featured than I realized. But no, what a song, like the transition between soul and jazz, Jason.
It's really unbelievable. I've always been a fan of Tina Marie. The thing about it was it took about 2 months before somebody shook me and said she was not a black woman. She was a white woman. We must stress this because she's a natural. Mm-hmm. She's a natural white woman that sings like a black woman. That's the bottom line. She didn't copy nobody. She ain't trying to be nobody.
She went her own way. Exactly. And she had the, you said she did the arrangement?
She did the arrangement too. It'd be interesting to see what the charts look like on that. But the most obscure beginnings, she was first discovered on the Beverly Hillbillies when she was 8 years old.
She was
dancing for Jed Clampett. And on top of being a great artist, she was a great businesswoman. She opened up the Brockert, which her maiden name is Brockert, the Brockert Initiative, which when she was at Motown, Berry Gordy wouldn't let her out of her deal because of unreleased material. So she took him to the court and won. Yeah. And because she won, she cleared it for artists like Luther Vandross and others to get out of their deals as well. So she made her mark in the legal category as well.
Tina Marie was a giant, and rest in peace. She's very well remembered. I mean, somewhere like England, many, many people think she's a god. In America, like you said, she's much better known in the black community just because her authenticity of her soulfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to modern day and consider a gentleman who's... crossed over with quite a lot of popularity.
Leon Bridges.
I believe, Jason, you have this record yourself.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Let's check this track out. Lisa Sawyer.
With the name Lisa Sawyer, circa 1963. Grandmother was Indian. Her mother's name was Eartha, swift as the wind, fierce as fire. Father's name was Victor. Worked two jobs to provide for his flock. She was the youngest of seven. She grew up on Louis Street. Chaos around, but inside cozy. Small, but a mansion in her eyes. Never had much money, but was filthy rich. Well, couldn't get from a dark casino, but lottery ticket they had love. Love, love, rich in love. The complexion of a sweet prey. Lean, hair long as the sea. Heart warm like Louisiana sun. Voice like a symphony of the most beautiful instruments. Whoa. Beautiful. At the age of 16, she found Christ at an altar. All along he was calling her name. The gospel spoken from an old wrinkled man.
Got a real New Orleans feel, actually.
Wop track.
Yeah, it's definitely doo-wop, but it's funny you should mention New Orleans. And there he is, Leon Bridges.
Nice stuff, brother. That's a beautiful track.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one that really sold me to begin with. But Jason, there's another artist that Mike and I wanted to turn you on to that we've been featuring on radio here on CITR. For a long time, and that's a gentleman from Chicago who is more known as a songwriter than a singer, and a little bit of a folk poet, but that's Terry Callier. Does that name ring a bell to you?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
If you remember the Dells, The Love We Had Stays on My Mind.
Yeah, yeah, I love the Dells.
He wrote that song. He wrote and arranged that song.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, this socially conscious track, Fix the Blame, boy, does it ever sound contemporary right now with all the stuff going on in the world. So let's feature that next here on African Rhythms. We've got special guests, Michael Ingram and the legend himself of local Vancouver soul and funk, Jason Hoover.
Washington. They did not carry knives or guns, but they were lethal just the same, cause they had come to fix the blame. Blame the unions and their lies. They've got wages set too high and manufacture some event, and we can blame the innocent. Blame the children, blame the young. We won't have to bite our tongue. Blame the migrant workers too. They pay too much for what they do. But please don't blame our subsidies, our money we send overseas. If you wanna keep our trust, blame anyone who's not like us. Racial hate, blame the sick, blame the needy, blame the grasping.
starving and the greedy. Blame the rich and blame the poor. We can't take it anymore. Blame the first and blame the last. Blame each and every living ass. But please don't blame our subsidies. The money we send overseas. And if you want to keep our trust, blame anyone who's not like us.
Yeah, socially conscious Terry Callier. And as I was saying today on the bus, you know, just so outrageous sometimes people's attitude towards poor people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I witnessed somebody getting on the bus today and, you know, he couldn't afford to pay. So he just walked on by without paying.
Yeah.
And then the woman speaks up and jeers the man for the gall of him getting on for free. Mm-hmm. And then the bus driver's like, well, oh, I'm not allowed to do anything about it. Like, it was outrageous, you know.
Unfortunately, you got folks like that, and the sad part about it is they feel more emboldened to say crap, you know.
That's the thing. I mean, for her to be saying that out loud, I mean, I'm honestly a nice guy, but and I hate to call somebody out, but, you know, when she's saying, and then she's going on to infer that basically poor people, she was like, oh, well, the other bus, the too many people smell or whatever, and she was like, oh, they can all go and get cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, they can all go get a job. And I was like, this woman is outrageous.
That's the poison that comes from the States.
Yeah.
All of that crap is Trump.
Yeah.
Because he is emboldening these folks to say the crap that they normally would keep their mouth shut about.
Right.
And unfortunately it's continuing on and it's almost endemic now.
Yeah, well, you know, Terry Callier's song, it almost sounds like it was written today, you know, blame the immigrants and some fix the blame, you know.
His vocal range is a little, it's got more bottom than Richie Havens, and he's in that same area, him, Taj Mahal, all around that same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful song.
Conscious, soulful folk, if you will. But, you know, an artist we wanted to turn you on to, Jason, that we praised back in the day, and Mike and I would talk at length about, because Mike hadn't heard him before either back in the 90s. And he's really only a legend over in England and Japan and places like that. But the phenomenal songwriter, Sam Deese, who wrote, like I was saying, he wrote One in a Million for Larry Graham. That was his biggest track.
Wow. Maybe he deserves it, man. I'll keep him rich for a while.
Yeah, and I believe his soul legend is still alive down in California. But here he is, his one and only Atlantic album. Funnily enough, the same year as yours, Jason.
75.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's check that out.
Get you down, girl, 'cause it really don't mean a thing. They say that love will never work for us, no. But while they're fussing fight all night, we always get along. No matter the wrong, no matter how long, we always seem to come back strong. Yeah, well, the road will get rough. I know it will be tough, yeah. But girl, just hold on, hold on. We got what it takes to make our own breaks. We're gonna get back up. We're gonna take the easy along with the tough. Whether stormy days, whether sunny days, we're gonna come back strong. We're gonna keep on loving every day of our lives. Make all good loving day all through the night. Oh, baby.
And that is from The Show Must Go On.
Yes.
And you know what, Jason? That's actually
Sam Dees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's from the same year, I believe, as your album.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so that was 1975. And after the next artist, we're going to feature a couple tracks from your album. But yeah, what a golden year, completely overlooked in its own time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and also I hope we talk about my lead guitar player, and my
co-writer
on a few songs.
We will, but
we
you
will
know,
be.
Jason, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever wonder what it would have been like if you had had that chance to go over to Europe with a full band?
I don't really know. I mean, I know some groups that have gone to Europe and never became famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no big deal. But I mean, they played, they worked, and they were potential stars.
Mm-hmm.
Never did round out. But, you know, I sat back and I said, I should have been, because we had records selling in Europe before they were selling here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Songs like Rhythm is the Way, Rust to Dust, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here is another artist that didn't really get the attention either. This guy, Jason, he actually wrote Love, Love, Love for Donny Hathaway.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. that's J.R. Bailey.
J.R. Bailey, and he was the original artist, yeah.
Yeah. You know, this album, as it fades in from track to track, is pretty similar to what's going on. And some of the quality, I think it might be one of the closest to what's going on in that period.
Well, you know, because Marvin took such a chance knowing what Motown was producing and allowing to have put out there, very few artists were going to have a chance to get behind them unless they had the actual 100% faith of the label or the producer doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fascinating, those other artists that were around when things like Donny Hathaway and What's Going On were going on. And I think this J.R. Bailey album is one of the great examples.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's going down. and I'm back uptown. You know what? My baby's on her way. And when she get here, man, I can't tell you. Oh, 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 oh. Heaven on earth can be a place, my friend, or just an idea blowing in the wind. Heaven on earth is really just a state of mind you're in. Oh, 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 oh. Heaven on earth can be a bag of gold, depend on who and what dreams they hold. But for me personally, heaven on earth is loving you a thousand ways, finding each way new. Judge, I'm not the one. But for me personally, heaven on earth is loving you a thousand ways and finding each way new.
Sipping something nice
and feeling so mellow, mellow. Maybe wrapped up in a groovy pad,
catching up on life.
I'm a happy fellow.
J.R. Bailey, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Bailey, something else.
Yeah. What a talent. And, you know, for him to make a record like that and then for Donny Hathaway to hear it and go, wow, I better cover one of these songs. And and then, like you're saying, like a New York label.
Yeah, London Records was over on 11th Avenue, 25th Street. It was one of the few independent labels that was around in the New York area. You had that, you had Columbia, of course, in Atlantic, and you had Elektra, because my sister worked there in the Key Punch department, and was right after that, they signed with Asylum, and they merged, and that's when Joni Mitchell and Queen and everybody else came out the woodwork, and
they
became a heavy hitter for a couple of years. But that song was awesome, because you know, Donny Hathaway is a singer.
That's
he
right.
would not take someone else's material unless that was bona fide stuff.
Yeah, you can
and in
see,
his phrasing.
Yeah. Right. You can see Donny certainly wanted to give him some exposure, but mm-hmm. it just things didn't go J.R. Bailey's way.
Well, mm-hmm. listen, you know, you can't expect everything to go the people's way. It's just that the attempt is wonderful and, mm-hmm. and the music and that record was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 years before you finally got to have an album, and you came close before that because Trials of Jason Hoover almost had an album. I mean, you could have had an album in that psychedelic, if you will, soul era. Yeah. Tragic.
Where was your head at that time, Jason?
Which time? Before the Mushroom or after? Before. Okay, I was really into things like We Were Happy, Freedom Train, mm-hmm. Are You Ready? Mm-hmm. I wanted to mix funk with gospel so that people could just realize it was all one thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right.
One love.
I mean, Jason Hoover, who's a local artist who moved here from Edmonton, and back in that 60s period, from 68 on, he started releasing a string of singles, which should have been Trials of Jason Hoover album. Mm-hmm. But still, there's 10, 12 singles. I mean, that's that for a local black artist.
yeah, that's an album, essentially.
That's unmatched, like, mm-hmm. you yep. know, locally. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an unmatchable. And then here comes along, you start jamming late at night at Mushroom Record Studios. How did mm-hmm. that come about?
Again, we go back to old Jack Hirshhorn and Rolf.
He handed Ralph the torch.
Ralph couldn't have us in Studio 3 anymore. We'd be there all night long. You know. Nobody was there but us. We had the key to lock up. That was it. We were back in the studio the next day. We're preparing. We didn't have the luxury of 3 or 4 weeks to come up with the songs. We had to have them right then and now. Now, if we had any songs, they want us to put them together. Mm-hmm. That was the bottom line. Flicker.
So basically, Jack Hirshhorn, your manager for the Trials of Jason Hoover,
right.
handed the torch to Mike Flicker to keep your career going.
He did so. Yeah, he did.
And then Mike Flicker, your producer, who became the producer of the million-seller Heart, Dreamboat Annie.
And two more albums with him.
Right. From what I read, Flicker lost his and had to renegotiate and or lost his deal with Heart at a certain point.
Yeah,
and even
did.
Mushroom Records folded.
They folded right after, very quickly, Steve Douglas tried to keep it together. The old saxophone player for, I don't know what band, whether it be.
Okay, well, let's focus on your Mushroom album from 1975.
Okay.
And rest in peace to your guitar player, Dennis Green.
Man, it just hurts my heart. I didn't think he would go before me. I really thought I would go first, but, you know, Dennis was such a creator. He was a writer, and all the things that we did use on the Mushroom album, it was only a slight example of what Dennis and I wrote together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, your second single for Mushroom Records would be She's My Lady, mm-hmm. and this indeed would feature Dennis Green.
Oh, yeah, he played the lead and the solos on everyone.
All right.
And they were clean.
Well, let's check that out.
That would be wonderful. Just listen to this boy play.
Another dime so I can live a better life of luxury. Though the going is tough, still I try to get enough, and it makes me feel so good to know she believes in me. She's my lady, a lovely lady, my sexy baby. She's good to me, and I love her, you know I love her, she always touches me so tenderly, oh I'm never, ever gonna mistreat her, I don't wanna do a thing to
love my lady. She's good to me. And she makes it, oh, she makes it so much better
each and every day.
She's my lady, a funky lady, my sexy baby. She's good to me. She's my lady, foxy lady. My pretty baby, she's good to me. Oh, I love her. Oh, you know I love her. She always loves me so tenderly.
CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio, right here in Vancouver, CITR.ca. Tune in and podcast. You're listening to African Rhythms. And rest in peace, Dennis Green.
Dennis Shame. Green.
Yeah. Featured heavily on that track.
And a few other, but that was his mate there. He did a beautiful job of doing the solo, the introduction, and and all the breaks. He played everyone.
Working that wah-wah, boy. He was riding that thing.
Oh, we must mention him. We finally going to give him a credit. And that is, he said to me, he said, look, man, my name's not on the album at all. And I played the wah-wah on She's mm-hmm. My Lady.
That's right.
And he deserves some. And Jesus, I almost forget his name. I've been with so many musicians in my time, but he had a lot of heart, a lot of drive, and he took a lot of punishment. Mm-hmm. I mean, being on the road, it was tough, you know. And he was there to cover for Dennis when Dennis wasn't feeling well. Or
so Dennis was on Heart Dreamboat Annie?
No, it was... You remember
Howard Leese?
Howard Leese was with Heart. Still today.
Yeah. So this was the other guitar player on your album than the Heart guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't mentioned, which you know how it is. He was on two tunes. You know,
she's I see. Yeah, She's My Lady. What about Show Me Some Slack?
Show Me Some Slack was some kind of tune. Yeah. Again, we have Dennis Green, and and again, you know, Show Me Some Slack was written by Dennis and I.
If you don't went through, show me some slack, baby.
some love from me. Show me some slack, girl.
From 1975, locally released record on Mushroom Records, and here in the studio, we have Mr. Jason Hoover, and that's the final track on the album. What a way to go out!
Show me some
strong, baby. Listen, that's a sophisticated track, and the chord pattern from the beginning to the changes in the middle, that's the kind of track that was perfect for urban contemporary. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but music was getting better because listeners were demanding more of bands. Because you had disco in the background somewhere. Not everybody wanted to hear disco. They wanted to hear real music, you know? And this was real music in every sense of the word.
Well, I thank you very much. I was like this, you know, we were on the road a lot. And then, you know, between the road and the restaurants and the hotels, it's time to create. And we were very fortunate to have a bus. Mm-hmm. It was well set up so that we were able to have a table to play cards or write songs. And we had sound system. We had two of them. We had the old eight track shove in or the cassette.
Yep.
So we were able to hear everything. Cool. One of my favorites on the road was Johnny Winters and Edgar Winters. I don't know
everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They were a heavy influence on many people did not know. They did not know.
Intriguing.
Yeah, Johnny Winter blew my mind. And Edgar,
they were big back then.
They were.
Frankenstein.
All come out at night.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. But it's the impact your record left. Added at 200 radio stations across Canada, each single, She's My Lady and then Love Will Get You. It came close, and when the Heart record blew up, Dreamboat Annie, which came out after yours on the same label with the same guitar player we just heard there, Howard Leese.
Howard was only on that She's My Lady track, and nice Love Will Get You. That was, and everything else was Dennis Green, or the late Dennis Green of 2 weeks ago. It was a writer friend of mine. It was Crazy Eight friend of mine. We played Crazy Eight right across Canada and back a couple times. And so we talked all the time.
Dennis Green, your guitar player on your album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, his solos are fantastic.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well thought out stuff. And what I liked about it, because all the funk acts had that, you had to change stuff up. Because if you're thinking about you're doing your live set, you got to have a chance for everybody to catch up, catch their breath. So your ballad's got to be there. So you had two, Love Will Get You and She's My Lady. So in a 45-minute set, that's what you want, because then you can kick ass and finish up strong.
That's what we did.
And there you go.
Well, here's another gentleman that only had one album, but for much more tragic circumstances, Baby Huey.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Brother was, well, listen, we had to tell the truth. Baby Huey was over 400 pounds.
I thought he was three. Was that 400?
He was over 400 pounds.
Wow.
And he was a powerful presence on the stage, not because of his size, but he had the soul. I mean, he had that fire in the belly vocally. And ironically, when he passed, too soon, of course, they asked Chaka Khan to replace him in the Babysitters. That was early 70s.
Being this was sort of Kurtum Chicago kind of territory, very socially conscious.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check it out. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that arrangement in Mighty Mighty, that's all Kurdish. You can hear that. It's all Kurdish. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Jason, wasn't it like that for you, hard times, temporarily, when you first came here? Jumping Jay Hoover, Smiling Buddha, sleeping on your cousin's couch.
You know the whole story.
Hard times.
Well, there's a time to thank Sonny Curtin for my cousin we're talking about, for putting up with my antics of a teenager who was out of control. Yeah. And he...
A charming one. Because, man, you were getting contracts soon enough.
They came faster than I could read them.
Yeah.
So they were coming every which way but loose. It was a great feeling, though. It really was a great feeling. And to make it from my first gig, which was at Smiling Buddha, and end up at the Shanghai Junk.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right.
That was great.
And the Harlem Nocturne.
Harlem Nocturne. All the way. Yeah. Ernie King. Yes. We came out.
Did you? How... Were you just cocky or confident vocally? Did you have that much trust in your instrument?
Let me tell you, I haven't changed much, guys. Really have.
No, I would never.
So I was very confident, and I was not going to take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was prompted. That was one thing that I left Edmonton with.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-guitar player's name was Dennis. And he also set me up doing a lot of dates in the South, in the States, and stuff like that. But Dennis Compo used to play guitar for me with Jumpin' Jay and Hoover. And
we have the ad in the paper.
You do.
For the very first Smiling Buddha Jumping Jay Hoover in Jason's archives, incredibly. Mm-hmm. His first gig, mm-hmm. we're talking before the Epics, before Barry Collins
All
and the
it.
Soul Brothers, as they were when he first joined. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Hoover picked Canada,
mm-hmm.
you know. He That's went right. Canadian all the way, and he picked Vancouver, and we should be honored for that. He could have easily
exactly.
headed for Toronto.
I wanted
and who
to.
Knows what would have happened in Toronto, because
who
Toronto
knows?
Didn't have much yeah. of a scene there either. And that's what frustrates.
Canada was killing R&B.
That's what was frustrating about the whole process, as yeah. we've been writing articles about Jason's progress and the death of R&B in Vancouver. You had everything here in place.
You
it
did.
Wasn't a situation where you had no venues. You didn't have people that weren't interested. There were other talent there that was vibing off of you and Bobby Taylor. And for whatever reason, somebody decided they had to pull the plug. Now, I don't know whether it was one of the promoters or the labels, somebody gatekeepers. It doesn't matter, because the bottom line is we're going to tell your story.
Yeah.
But it's sad.
Stay tuned, folks. Stay
really,
tuned.
It's sad that there's such a detour. Mm. Artistically, did you have to go through all of this madness yeah.
but
to get back
be
in?
Be this the facts, though, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Jason Hoover, within 2 years of being in Vancouver, was on nationally broadcast TV and then multiple more times mm-hmm. released 15 45s, an album, almost a second mm-hmm. album. And then if you include Live at the Grooveyard, there's a third
there
album.
There you go.
And then if you include HB Concept as a producer mm-hmm. later on.
But,
you
but.
Know,
the one glaring omission is that they should have said, presenting Canada's own,
yeah.
Jason Hoover.
Yeah, they did in the Expo 86 when he headlined. He was called Canada's R&B King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but let's think of another artist, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're familiar with Jason, and this is yep. a fairly unknown track, but Royo's Ubiquity is mm-hmm. somebody that came up in the 60s
yep.
mm-hmm.
and into the 70s and even into the disco era. But back when he put out He's Coming, this would have been comparable to the trials of Jason Hoover. This is the psych soul era.
Mm.
And Roy Ayers embraced
I love
indeed
Ayers.
That. Himself.
And this is why I love New York. I'll tell you why after the track is played.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got time to be tired. We got a long, long way to go. That's right. A long, long, long way to go. We ain't got time to be tired, 'cause the tired move too slow. They move too slow. Time to be tired. There's a fight that must be won. It must be won. You know something? You ain't got time to be tired, 'cause the war has just begun. That's right, the war has just begun. Now listen, I see the war. The war has just begun. You say, what war? The war for freedom. For freedom and equality. That's right. I say the war has just begun. What war? The war for freedom. That's right. Freedom. Oh, yes. The war, the war. The war for freedom. You know, we ain't got time to be tired. We got a long, long way to go. We ain't got time to be tired, 'cause the tired move too slow. Yes, the war, the war. Freedom and equality.
tired. Got a long, long way to go.
Roy Ayers' Ubiquity, and man, it sure sounds like the Vietnam-filled late 60s, but in 72, those issues were still going on.
Yes, they were. And the station in New York was WRVR 106.7. Played jazz, played fusion. It was a badly needed set of genres that needed a home, and they gave it to them. It was there I discovered acts like Pat Metheny and others, and that was my favorite station for a long time. The only reason they ended it and changed format to country music was because it wasn't making enough profit. So it was even something that was making money, and it was important for musicians like Roy Ayers, who lived in New York, because they had a place to go. And they were always staying in New York, playing in places like the Knitting Factory and others, so that everybody knew that these acts were there and you would be able to go to those venues because that station was there to tell everybody, Roy Ayers is coming to town with Jason Hoover.
Unique flavor.
Yeah, you know, need flavor.
Unique kind of, I mean, he started out more jazz, but then he started to go, I get what, at the time, what was considered pop, but he started to go a little more conscious soul. I mean, he recites and sings in that song, No Vibes, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that he was making an effort to kind of cross over, you know, if you will, like Roy Ayers, but in a conscious kind of way, but an overlooked track, but one of my favorites currently.
Very much overlooked, but again, New York musicians having a place to play and knowing that their stuff's going to get heard, that was a jazz extension of the Chitlin' Circuit. You know, if you got your stuff played on RVR, you know you're going to see them at the Beacon Theater. You know, that's giving you a reminder because the DJ, David Jones, is going to tell you, you know, on June 13th, Roy Ayers is coming to the Beacon. That's important for artists. You know, jazz artists didn't have that kind of lifeline.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jason, you know, I think that we should sneak in a Stevie Wonder track. And I was thinking, one, I haven't played in a long time, If You Really Love Me.
That's a beautiful song.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're at the top of the hour. It's going to be Skulls Hall Talk Radio. But in the meantime, we're going to give you some more soul here on African Rhythms. Coming up, Ruby Andrews. We're going to get into her next.
Yes.
But first, here's Stevie.
Call my name, ooh, so sweet, to make your kiss incomplete. When your mood is clear, you quickly change your ways. Then you say I'm untrue. What am I supposed to do? Be a fool who sits alone waiting for you. But if you really love me, won't you tell me, yeah. And if you really need me, won't you tell me, yeah. Then I won't have to be. I see the light of your smile calling me up. You are saying, baby, it's time to go. First the feeling's all right, then it's gone from sight. So I've taken out this time to say. Oh,
recorded Memphis, Tennessee, but with the involvement of Jerry Butler.
Jerry Butler, he was a clever rascal. He had his pie, he had his hands in everything, and I stand corrected. I thought this was New York because another band, the Sand Pebbles, which were later called Seeing the Shells, did a lot of independent stuff just like this, old hardcore soul and stuff. But no, this is Jerry. Smooth. Gotta give it to him.
Ruby Andrews also crossed over to the modern and northern soul scene with another track on there that we played, Just Lovin' You.
Just Lovin' You.
Which is a monster.
And her signature trap, Casanova, which she did back in the early 70s and reproduced it in 80.
Well, I've got one for you, Jason. I wonder if you remember this one. This is a little bit later, but a certain artist named Gwen McRae recorded this, Funky Sensation.
Oh, shit.
Gwen McRae. I remember her disco days.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? My funky sensation. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? My funky sensation. Thank you.
creeping out there on the dance floor. I want you to put your hands together like that. Come on. Ooh. Yeah, you feel it. That's when you gotta ooze it in. Yeah, there you go. Just move your left leg. That's it. Move your left leg. Yeah, with the beat. Come on. Throw your right hand in the air. Mm-hmm. That's it. Lean left, lean right, lean front, lean back. Come on. You gotta ride it, baby. It's just a funky sensation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a funky sensation. I know it.
We're talking ultimate party jam, Jason.
Oh, that is, was a groove, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gwen McCrae, Funky Sensation, sampled by Afrika Bambaataa early in hip-hop.
I just love that piano sample where they roll it.
Piano solo is ace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to have that good of a funk groove and then that good of a solo.
No. You know?
Great, fantastic. Well, it's another show. Stay tuned for the Trials of Jason Hoover film. We're finishing it up this year, and we're going to be telling local history about the adventures of Jason Hoover, coming here in 64 and having a 30-plus year career of regular gigs. Impressive.
Well, it's really nice to be, a living legend. But to me, I'm just me, and I just try to do what I can do with the best I can.
Let me ask this one last question.
All right, Mike.
How does it feel for you to be a Canadian and being able to do the music and being a trailblazer like you've been?
In some ways, it's very rewarding. In other ways, it's very displeasing. In other ways, it's very, who knows you in Thunder Bay or mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that's my way of asking. Do you want to be known as a soul artist, or do you want everybody to know that you're Canadian and a soul artist?
I think that would do the job right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the funniest things I ever read in all the notes and all the ads was when you played in Southern Ontario and you were in this one little town, and then they put an ad out for your gig, and they're like, featuring his latest single, The Million Selling, Love Will Get You.
Oh, if only.
Yeah.
If only.
That's one of the best ever. That's epic. Yeah. All right, well, take it out, my brother Mike.
From Kootenay to Kamloops, from Coquitlam to Commercial Drive, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all that good stuff can be found right here on African Rhythms.
And peace and love to you, Mike and Jason. And we're going out. Rest in peace, Prince.
My man, Roger Nelson's.
I feel for you.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50